Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pentecost, the day 50 days after the resurrection, when God poured out his Spirit on the apostles. When the harvest festival of the Jews turned into a harvest of souls for God's church. When the curse of Babel in our Old Testament reading, the confusion of languages, was undone by the comprehension of languages. Today, living in a post-Pentecost world, we are blessed to have the Holy Spirit and his teaching opened and made known to us in the Holy Scripture that he inspired. But as we see in our gospel reading today from John chapter 14, there is still more that the Holy Spirit can teach us, more that we can learn from the sacred scriptures that he has opened up to us. And as we delve into Jesus' teachings here, we will be blessed once more with the Holy Spirit's teaching, making known to us the good and perfect Word of God, which is just as comforting for us today as it was for Jesus' disciples 2,000 years ago. But first, let's set a little context here for our gospel reading. John 14 is part of a long discourse that all takes place in the upper room on the night before Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus and the apostles are in the upper room. This is where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels. And they are speaking for a long time here, several chapters of just Jesus teaching them to prepare them for what is going to happen. Now, John, of course, doesn't actually include the institution of the Lord's Supper, so we're not sure when in the evening this particular teaching took place. Instead, John focuses on Jesus' words, on his teaching to the disciples, when he is seeking to give them comfort in advance of the terror and fear and all of the sadness and tragedy that is to come in just a couple of hours. The disciples don't know what's going to happen, but at this point, they have a pretty good idea that things are going to happen just reading the room. The persecution against Jesus has been ramping up for a few chapters now, ever since even before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11. They have been under threat for weeks, months even, of the Jews trying to trap Jesus in his words so that they can arrest him and either punish him themselves or hand him over to the Romans to do their dirty work for them. The disciples, when they returned to Bethany when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the disciples were fully expecting Jesus to be arrested and for all of them to be killed. The Jewish leaders have been working against him actively for quite a while because his message runs so contrary to their teaching, to the teaching on which they base their hope and from which they receive all of their power. Jesus teaches an eternal salvation from sin, a kingdom which is going to come, the kingdom of God. And that is not what the Pharisees want to hear. Though the disciples don't know it yet, sitting in the upper room listening to Jesus' words, one of their own has already made plans to hand Jesus over to the Pharisees and chief priests for a couple pieces of silver. The disciples at this point are confused, they're scared, they have no idea what is going on, and that's a sense that will last for another 4 days or so until the resurrection happens. And so now as we look even closer at what Jesus is teaching them, there are several parts in Jesus' final message in his high priestly prayer, which are very well known to us today. John chapter 14, in fact, begins with Jesus telling them, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Even though Jesus would soon be taken away, he reminds the apostles that he himself is the only way to God, and that his death, his life, his resurrection is the way that they come to God. After our reading today, John chapter 15 begins with Jesus teaching that I am the true vine, that we are only strong when we are connected to that vine, Jesus. Or still later, Jesus tells them that they will have sorrow, but their sorrow will turn to joy. The disciples don't quite understand what any of this means, but eventually they will understand. They will connect the dots. They would have grief and sorrow when Jesus is arrested. They would be mourning while the rest of the world rejoices at Jesus' death. But then their sorrow will turn to indescribable joy when Jesus rises from the dead. And it's in the midst of this teaching that Jesus turns to our text for today, where he sets before the disciples what the future will hold for them, that he will be taken away, but they will not be left alone. Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Now, this starts to sound a little like law as we get into what Jesus is teaching here. We must keep God's word, it says. Now, the question rises, what does it mean to keep God's word? A good Lutheran question. Is Jesus saying that we need to be perfect, as God says in Leviticus, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall be perfect, for I am perfect. Is Jesus saying that we need to be able to obey the law in every respect in order to actually show that we love God? The term here in Greek, tereo, actually means to guard, keep, or observe. And so, yes, there is that part, but in other words, it's less about the obedience and more about prizing it, holding God's word precious. We keep God's word when we read it, when we keep it in mind and take it to heart, when we learn it and delve into it and study his word under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And what this means is that to love God also includes prizing his word. If you love your parents, you will listen to what they say. If you respect your teachers, you will pay attention to what they are trying to teach you. In Psalm 119, the psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word guides us forward. That is what it means to keep his word and to consider it precious and important. God's word gives us life, and it keeps us on the right path. Jesus continues, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." In other words, Jesus is here on the night before he is taken away from them, preparing the disciples for the fact that he will leave. He has been with them now for about 3.5 years, teaching them and preparing them for the mission that he has for them. After his resurrection, he would be with them for a further 40 days as between the resurrection and the ascension. But he will not be with them forever. He is going to return to his Father. But he promises that he is not going to leave them alone. He will send the Holy Spirit to them, the Comforter, the Helper, who will be with them to teach them what they need to know. The Holy Spirit, equal to the Father and the Son, he will teach them all the things that God has revealed. Jesus going away, yes, it is going to be a sad moment for his disciples that he is no longer with them, their friend is taken away, and yet it is also a moment of triumph. The coming of the Holy Spirit is unquestioningly a moment of victory, as we see in our second reading today from Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes on them in power, revealing to them God's word, teaching them all of the things that God has revealed, and enabling them to be his witnesses. At this point in the upper room, they still only know in parts, but the Holy Spirit will make them to know perfectly. Jesus continues, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Peace I leave with you." What is peace? So often these days, we think of peace as simply being an absence of war or conflict. If they stopped shooting each other in Ukraine, that would be peace. But is that really peace? It's not entirely simply a matter of violence and peace, or conflict and peace. There can be a temporary absence of conflict without true peace. At the same time, there can be true peace even when conflict rages around us. So peace is not simply the absence of violence. Peace means security and trust in God, knowing that God is with us and that nothing can pull us away from him. That is the peace that Jesus offers. And that is the peace which the disciples will receive. The disciples at this point, they are afraid and unsure, but Jesus had told them what would happen so that they wouldn't have to be afraid of the unknown. They know what is going to happen, that they will have sorrow, but the sorrow will turn to joy, that there will be a conflict around them, and yet Christ has overcome the world. They would be persecuted, they would face trials, but those things would all be temporary. When you know what's going to happen, sometimes that is enough for us. When you know that the bad things are only temporary, that they will end, then you can endure. Jesus says, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father." Ultimately, Jesus loves and submits to his Father, submitting to his will and serving him. Jesus is God, God who came down to earth for us, and yet he also became obedient to the point of death so that he could do for us what we could not do for ourselves. So then, what does all of this mean for us today as we celebrate this day of Pentecost, 2,000 years almost after the original? Well, the key focus for the day of Pentecost is on the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who was yet to come for the disciples, has come to us today. We read about the Holy Spirit's first coming in our second reading from Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes down in tongues of fire that rest on the disciples' heads so that they speak in tongues so that all the people in Jerusalem can hear in their own languages. The Holy Spirit brings together people of different nations and languages all together to understand what God has done. The Holy Spirit, even today, continues to make God's word known to his people. The Holy Spirit shows us and makes us to understand what God says. And that is something that happens in through us, through the Holy Spirit, that we also have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not in divided tongues of fire, not in something as exciting as that first day of Pentecost, but in baptism, that the Holy Spirit comes into us and teaches us to know and trust God. We don't need a big, splashy event to receive the Holy Spirit. We receive him in a single splash of water. The Holy Spirit also brings to us God's word for our understanding. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us God's word, who helps us to understand what we read in the Bible. It's because of the Holy Spirit that our children learn, that we learn, that our faith is strengthened in all of the different ways that we teach and learn here at St. Paul. We learn God's word not just in our head, but also in our hearts and in our actions. When we let God's word come out of us in our expressions of love for one another, when we show God's word in our actions, when we speak God's word to those around us who so desperately need to hear that message of love and hope and forgiveness. And ultimately, no matter what is happening around us, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The world around us is in chaos and turmoil, but God gives us peace within. This isn't the peace that's simply an absence of war. It's the peace of being secure in the arms of a loving God who is so much greater than the violence and chaos and danger around us. So yes, Pentecost happened nearly 2,000 years ago. Yes, Jesus ascended into heaven at the Ascension, which we celebrated 10 days ago. Yes, we do not see him any longer, at least not in the way that the apostles did. But Jesus did not leave us alone. He promised to send his Holy Spirit to us, whom we receive in our baptism. His Holy Spirit teaches us to know him and love him perfectly, to trust in him above all things, to remain confident in him. The Holy Spirit's teaching is not a one-and-done affair. It's not something that just happens when we are children. It's something that continues. He continues to teach us through his word. We receive the Holy Spirit in baptism, and he teaches us as we grow into the grace of our Lord through Sunday school and vacation Bible school, through Bible classes and confirmation classes, through regular devotions and reading of Scripture. The Holy Spirit continues to reveal to us the love that God has for us, the peace that passes all understanding which He offers, the forgiveness and eternal life which come only from Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.